I came into this country back in the middle 70s. And one question that plagued me for a considerable number of years, as I looked around and being in touch with people, serving in churches, and that question that plagued me was this. While there are more people in the United States of America who suffer from depression than any of the other countries that I, at least, familiar with. And that really plagued me. A number of years, and I'm not talking about clinical depression, I'm not talking about chemical depression, I am not talking about anything that is physiological. I'm talking about sheer emotional depression. And I really did, I mean, for quite some time, and I would ask some of the experts, and said, well, you know, it's a fast-paced society, and it is this, and it's technology, and it's so forth. I was not satisfied. I mean, really wanted to know. As I said, I'm not being able to know for a long time. It nearly depressed me. And a few years ago, I discovered the answer. And it's really simple. One word, expectations. Expectations. The higher the expectations, the greater the disappointment when those expectations are not met. The higher the build-up, the harder the fall. The greater the expectations, the deeper the despair. The more unrealistic those expectations are, the greater the depression. You know, I've seen my fair share of unrealistic expectations. I mean, unrealistic expectations between husbands and wives, unrealistic expectations of children, unrealistic expectations of a job, unrealistic expectation of a boss, unrealistic expectations of a church. And can you believe there are some who have unrealistic expectations of the pastor? Can you believe that? In fact, Christmas time is where most people suffer more from depression probably than any other time. Do you know why? Because the expectations are heightened. And we all see this Hallmark picture. That's unrealistic. It's not real. It's on television. Unrealistic expectations. Now, of course, you know, you can go to the other extreme and join with those whose life's motto is, blessed is he who expects nothing, for he will never be disappointed. You know some of those, don't you? Any unrealistic expectations will lead to depression, will lead to discouragement. Let me assure you, let me repeat this. Any and all unrealistic expectations will lead to discouragement, will lead to disappointment, and will lead to depression. But today I'm going to tell you about one expectation that you can absolutely be certain about. One expectation that you can absolutely be sure it will never disappoint you. Never. What is it? It is this. Listen carefully, please. When you place your expectations on the promises of God, no matter how long it may take, it will come to pass. Whenever you place your expectations on what God said, no matter how long it will take, He will always keep His word. When you place and cling to the covenant of God that He made with you, no matter what's going on around you, He always keeps His side of the bargain. And no matter what your expectations are, whenever you place them firmly and securely on God's own pledge, no matter how long it would take, He will always fulfill those expectations. Today I want to draw your attention to another ordinary man who prayed an extraordinary prayer. First, we looked at Abraham's servant, Eliezer, and how he prayed specifically and in details, and God met his expectations in details when he brought Rebekah to Isaac. And then we saw the prayer of Hannah, Samuel's mother, as she prayed to the Lord, and the Lord met and answered her prayers perfectly. Today we're going to look at the prayer of Simeon. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 2. I want you to look at the prayer of Simeon. We know very little about Simeon except what we see here in this passage in Luke chapter 2. He placed his expectations squarely upon the promise of God. And God did not disappoint him. Here's a model, example, exhibit A. When he placed his expectations on the promise of God, in the Word of God, God did not disappoint him. Look at verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. I want to tell you something that is absolutely biblically, theologically, and historically accurate. You can check me on this. Listen carefully. In times of spiritual degeneracy, as it is in our time today, when the official church hierarchy is focused on the form of religion but deny its power, in the times of spiritual decay, as in our day, where the clergy of the church more focused on rituals and on the institution than on the gospel of Jesus Christ. In times of spiritual crisis like our day, where the religious leaders become more preoccupied with accommodating to sin and compromise. In those times, God always, always calls ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things for Him. Remember when Hannah prayed? When we saw that in the last message? What was happening? Eli the priest was out to lunch. His family was in a mess. The temple was in a mess. And here's this godly woman on her knees praying. God calls ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things in those critical times. God calls ordinary people to exercise extraordinary faith. God calls ordinary people to believe the impossible, to expect the unexpected, to hope for the hopeless, and to attempt the unthinkable, to be convinced of the inconceivable, to see the invisible, and yes, to do the undoable. That's what God does. I can show it to you in modern history. I can show it to you from Scripture. Therefore, listen carefully. Let no one, boys, girls, young adults, older, younger of all generations, let no one say, I am just an ordinary Christian. God specializes in ordinary Christians who believe in an extraordinary God. Now there are some people who tried to speculate about Simeon because we don't know much about him. So bless the theologians, they love to speculate. Well, because he's mentioned, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, because he prophesied and gave a real prophecy in the next few verses that we have not read, then he must have been somebody important. One dear soul said that he must have been at least a rabbi. Another person said, well, you know, he may have been a retired priest. It's fantasy. Why is fantasy? Because they do not want to accept the fact that he was an ordinary man. They do not want to accept the fact that God specializes in using ordinary men to accomplish extraordinary things when they believe in the extraordinary God. They don't want to believe that. What Luke is telling us about this man who has unshakable faith, who had unshakable expectations of the coming of the Messiah, is that he was an ordinary man. And remember this, Luke was a scientist. He gives us more detail, probably more than the other writers, and he gives us meticulous details. And if this man was anybody in society, he would have told us about him. But he specifically wants us to know that he was an ordinary man. While we don't know a great deal about Simeon, the few things we know right here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, they are mentioned here. There are a few things that we know from this particular few verses. And you know the interesting part about this? What the Holy Spirit inspires Luke to write about Simeon? All the things that are important to God, if not people. Couldn't care less what people thought. He's telling us the things that are important to God. Listen to me. I know, and you know, that we often think that the people who really matter are those who have the big titles, or those have string of degrees after their name. We think that people who really mattered, those who are highly regarded in society. God, the Holy Spirit, inspired Luke to tell us what is important about this man, Simeon. Listen carefully. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was, listen, qualification number one. Circle it in your Bibles. Qualification number one, he was righteous. Qualification number two, he was devout. Qualification number three, he was looking or watching or anticipating, all the same meaning, the consolation of Israel. He starts his prayer by saying, now it's time for me to be relieved from my post. Now it's time for me to step down from my duty. Now it's time for me to step down from my watchtower. Now, after a long wait, I can relinquish my post of watching and waiting for the Messiah to come. What I have been waiting for, what I've been watching for, what I've been expectant of, is here. What God had promised in His Word, He delivered. It took a long time, but He's here. What we have hoped for centuries, now is here. Look at verse 29 of Luke chapter 2. Now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. Why is he ready to depart? In verse 30, he tells us why. Because my eyes have seen the fulfillment of all of Israel's expectations. Because all of my expectations have now been fulfilled. All of my expectations of the promises of God, now they have become a reality. They have been met. Because all of my dreams have been fulfilled. Because all of my hopes now have been realized. Because all of my watching and waiting have now met their purpose. When you're expectant of the promises of God, He's never going to disappoint you. Now, I can be set free. Now, beloved, I want to tell you, those are the expectations that will never, never disappoint you. Why? Because when your expectations are based on the promise of God in the Word of God, God will never disappoint you. What was that dream? What was that hope? What was that expectation is all about? What's it about? It was about waiting for Israel's Messiah, and the only hope for mankind, the only hope for the Gentile world, the only hope for everybody throughout the world, throughout the universe, in every generation, is the only hope. They've been waiting for it. They've been waiting for Him, and now He's here. The one for whom people longed for generations. Simeon is saying, now I'm seeing Him with my own eyes. God has privileged me to see Him. And now I can die and go to glory in peace. Simeon was an ordinary man with an extraordinary prayer. You see, ordinary people can have extraordinary prayers when their prayers are God-inspired. Ordinary people can have extraordinary privileges with God. Ordinary people can have extraordinary fulfillment of prophecy. You see, not all of the nation of Israel was waiting for the Messiah. There were a tiny number of faithful people, and they begin to really only appear in the Old Testament around the time of the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah begins to talk about them as the remnant, the people of the way, from whom later on the early Christian church was called the people of the way, following in that tiny remnant of Israel. What did they do? What were they waiting for? They were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. You say, generation after generation after generation. Absolutely. This tiny minority, tiny small number of people, faithful people, they were in their watchtowers. Is He coming this generation? Then they say, when a person's ready to die, he will pass the baton. He said, you wait for His coming. And the next generation will say, now you wait for his coming. And the next generation will say, you wait for his coming. Until the time came and Simeon is the descendant of these watching and waiting people. And he gets the privilege. This small number of faithful Jews never lost hope. These small number of faithful remnant were Messiah watchers, never gave up. Why? Because their expectations were placed firmly on the promises of God. And when you place your expectations firmly on the promises of God, God will never disappoint me. Let me ask you this. When was the last time did you talk to somebody, a son or a daughter or somebody of the younger generation, and told them to be expectant of the return of the Lord? You see, we live our lives and we have forgotten the very essence and our destiny. We have lived like the people of the world, working as hard as they are, accumulating as much as they do, if not more, trying to do what with it? You're going to go to glory and leave it all behind? I remember, and I'll never forget, my godly grandfather, who died at the age of 92. And all the years I've known him, he always was expectant of the return of the Lord. And I remember when he was dying, he said to all his grandchildren, he said, now you should be expectant of the return of the Lord. And that impacted my life even today. Waiting for the return of the Lord. That's what our job is. Everything we do in this life, it's for one purpose, the return of the Lord. My beloved friends, wrong expectations will disappoint you. High expectations and the wrong things and the wrong people will depress you, will discourage you, will disappoint you. But expectations for the promises of God will never, never, never disappoint you. Jesus promised that he's coming again. This time, he's not going to be a helpless baby in a manger. This time, he's not going to have his body hanging helplessly on a cross. But this time, he's going to come with power and great glory. Will you be with him when he appears? Do you have that assurance? Today, you can. If you can say honestly to yourself, I'm not really sure. I am hoping so. I've been doing my best for all these years, and I hope it means that you're not. Because if you do know, it means that your faith and hope anchored in the promise of God who never changes. That means if I say that to you today, you say, absolutely, when Jesus appears, I'm going to be with him. He may come this afternoon. I know there are people who have all kinds of charts and ideas about it. Jesus said, it's like a thief in the night. He could come any moment. The question is, will you be ready? Or will you have a lot of things to do to get ready? You won't have time. The Bible said it's in a twinkle of an eye. It's faster than your eye could blink. The Son of Man is going to appear on the clouds. And only those who have come to Jesus Christ and accepted him and received him and crowned him as their only Savior and Lord will have that opportunity. If you haven't done that, will you do that today? Father, I come to you. I thank you that my hope is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his promise. I thank you that I can stand as sure as of my own name and of me standing here that when you appear, Lord Jesus, I'm going to be with you because of your promise. That's all. I have nothing in me that is good enough but in the goodness of Jesus. And now if you're a person who have never committed your life to Jesus Christ, you've been a churchman, a churchwoman all your life. You try to do your best, but your best will not get you to heaven. In the privacy of your heart, you can pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I receive you into my life. I acknowledge that without you, I will not make it to heaven. My church will not get me to heaven. My denomination will not get me to heaven. All of my good works will not get me to heaven. And therefore, I come to you empty-handed, hopeless and helpless, trusting only in you and in your promise that when I come to you, you receive me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Dr. Michael Youssef, recently featured on Leading the Way. If you'd like to know more about us, please visit ltw.org. That's ltw.org.